Audio version of Michael Leitman's blog. April 20th, 2020. My thoughts on Twitter April 20th, 2020. As soon as we stop being aggressive toward nature and step back, nature quickly makes up for the drastic human intervention. Amalek, true egoism, arises upon exiting Egypt, in the domain of the Creator. In Egypt, Pharaoh rules. In the Creator's domain, an opposite force, Amalek, is revealed. The only way to oppose Amalek is to work in the Ten and raise a prayer to the Creator. Amalek reminds us of himself, Amalek, Almanat Lakabel, neglect of the Creator, bestowal, or not, we must work on it constantly, look for where and how to add the importance of the Creator within us. He is the only reason we grow. It turns out that Amalek is help from the opposite. A disturbance is a sign that one needs to scrutinize and elevate oneself, a means from the Creator to rise toward him. Amalek is fighting against the importance of the Creator in us. Therefore, with his work on us, he induces the need for the importance of the Creator. Amalek, our ego, is showing me where to add the importance of the Creator in me. The goal of the coronavirus is to change human nature. Man is the only element in nature that causes it harm. He has free will, which is why he must take his correct self-governance into his hands. Until he does this, the virus will not disappear. 1. I am unable to understand the upper one who thinks on a different level, thus I don't agree with him. No matter how much I go over my conclusions and the conclusions of the upper one, I get only more convinced that his opinion is unacceptable to me, seems unreasonable to me, far from reality. 2. But after the scrutiny that I cannot agree with or justify the Creator, I stop myself saying, now I'm going to accept the opinion of the Creator above reason despite it being opposite to mine. Precisely because it's opposite to my reasoning, I accept it as faith above reason. 3. I rejoice at the opportunity to do so. And if I cannot accept this, then I ask the Creator to give me strength to do so, for I go by faith above knowledge, accepting the opinion of the Creator. I understand that my knowledge remains below and above it is the knowledge of the Creator, one above the other. 4. I don't replace my prior knowledge, understanding, and perception with the knowledge, understanding, or perception of the Creator, as the kids in our world do, accepting an adult's opinion. In spirituality, I remain with my opinion, besides which I also receive the opinion of the Creator and work according to it. 5. This is the form I remain in spirituality. My verified opinion that I retain is called my knowledge. The opinion of the Creator that I have accepted becomes my faith. It is above my reason since I accept it as the truth even though my mind finds it to be unrealistic. What must we do for the #virus to disappear? Nature is an integral system where all the parts are connected, one supporting the other. In this system, humanity must become a part that supports, connects, balances, and facilitates greater integration of all of nature's elements. Because we have tremendous power, we must treat nature very carefully, as the perfect integral system that it is. If we begin to do this consciously, our lives will be happy. And if we don't, new viruses will come until they raise us off the face of the earth. This is the time and place to make the right choice. Correlation between the correction of the individual and the group. Question. On one hand, we say that everything is inside of me, but at the same time, for correction, I need the friends, the group. What is the correlation between these two things? Answer. The correlation is very simple. You can correct yourself only to the extent that you correct your attitude to the group. It is your personal correction. According to Kabbalah, there is no I. According to Kabbalah, I is equal to we. That is the only way. When 10 people connect above their own individual ego, while each remains himself, they become one whole, one group, one I. At the same time, however, they are 10 different people, each with his different ego. Their ego is very big and it grows at each level, but they can ascend above it and constantly unite more and more between them. This is how we ascend in spirituality. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, January 5, 2020. Penny upon penny. Rabash. The whole of the Torah is one holy name, that is, any overcoming in the work is called walking in the work of the Creator, since each penny joins into a great amount. That is, all the times we overcome accumulate to a certain measure required to become a kli for the reception of the abundance. Overcoming means taking a part of a vessel of reception and adding it to the vessels of bestowal. Question. Can this be connected to the states that we all have experienced together after the Congress? Answer, certainly. After all, we are connected with one another and we form a vessel, such a pot, in which I, you, all our friends, men and women, are part of. It does not matter at what level everyone is because we all want to enter this common vessel. In it, we begin to connect with one another and with all the souls of previous Kabbalists who fill the entire volume of the vessel. And we, rising there, become included in it. Therefore, all of us participating in the Congress achieve such a state in which we join the common soul of Adam. Question: Can we say that overcoming is accumulating like penny upon penny into a large amount and reach a certain degree called Adam? Answer: Yes. Adam is what all the Kabbalists have done before us. And we, as we enter this state, become connected to them. Question: We entered this state at the Congress and now all of us are back to our little world. What should everyone do? Answer: Yes, we entered the general state, but after the Congress, everyone did not fall back into their own little world. Ultimately, this general state still exists. It is just that it constantly disappears for us so that we would have to awaken it again and again and like penny upon a penny would put everything into one big kli vessel. Question: So, what Rabash called overcoming is actually in addition, my duty to feel the general state of connection. Answer: Certainly. Question: What exactly are we connecting and how are we connecting? Answer: We are connecting by aspirations to be above our egoistic desires in a common unity, in the so-called ten. The ten is a boundless state. You can gather a million people and say that it is a ten, or you can take two or three people and this will also be a ten. The connection of people above their ego is called the ten. From Cab TV's Fundamentals of Kabbalah, March 1, 2020. Answers to your questions, Part 242. Question: Our nation only survived thanks to various unions, albeit shaky ones. The true, important reason for unification is not clear to us today, and we have nothing to reject except the enforcement of another reason for unification. How can we rise above this? Answer: The people of Israel existed because they united above the forces of separation, and then abandoned these attempts 2,000 years ago. It is time to renew them and achieve success. Question: Why does the Creator constantly evoke a terrible hatred toward him in me? Answer: So that you will rise above your egoistic qualities and acquire the opposite. In this way, he draws you to him. New Life 1185. The people in my life.
Hello and thanks for being with us on the New Life Show, Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Yael Shadarel. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about the role that people play in our life. Throughout life, we meet many people. Some of them maybe for just a moment, some of them for life. We'd like to understand what is the role of the interactions that we have with these people. It's going to be really interesting. Please. Yeah. From the moment we're born, we meet many people. Some of them we meet maybe for just a moment, and some of them are with us for life. And on this show, we'd like to understand, what is the role of these encounters? What are they for? What happens at such an encounter and such an interaction between two people? Sometimes we keep a grudge, we have hard feelings against certain people that we met in life, and we'd like to know, what should be the right attitude toward all of these things? And I'd like to open with a question of whether every person that we meet in life has a role. Of course. And not only people. Every particle in creation, from the still, the vegetative, the animate, and the speaking, they all have a role, otherwise they wouldn't exist. A role in relation to us. That too. And maybe we can't exactly say what is their role and why do we need these people and how should we relate to them, but this is how it is for sure. Is there some higher plan of who we're going to meet? All of us live inside of nature that is round, closed, whole and complete, with endless degrees and interactions and interconnections between all of its parts. And we're part of that. And surely we cannot digest this entire great, big, truly infinite system. But it is whole and complete, perfectly interconnected, where it's impossible for anything to move without everything else moving accordingly. And this is how this entire system is headed towards a whole, perfect, and complete state. Whole, perfect, and complete state means that all the parts of the system that all belong to one of the five parts that are called root, 1, 2, 3, 4, in Hebrew, shorish, aleph, bet, gimel, dalet, or still vegetative, animate, and speaking. And they're all moving in a direction where they don't all become one, but they connect and as if become one, meaning that in relation to all the parts that are participating in this, there is a law of connection that is revealed between them up to the point of love, so much so that everyone's interdependent, everyone's important, everyone is in mutual love, as it says that the wolf shall dwell with the lamb. So everyone understands that they're a part of the same body. And just like I can't harm my own body, I can't harm any other part of creation, not even the smallest or the most distant ones. And in life, I meet or encounter only a part of the whole. Right. The meetings, the encounters that I have with other people, with a part of that whole, and I want to focus on people, not on the still or the animate. Is there some kind of superior, higher plan according to which I meet one person or another and every person that I meet in life is a part of that plan? Has to be that way because it's all a part of a closed system. What do you mean? That in this entire integral system, there's no part that's free. Every part depends on all the rest of the parts, and the rest of the parts depend on it. Okay, so I want to see how it's implemented in life. I have a spouse. We're together for more than 20 years now. We have 4 children. I have parents. She has parents. on the other side, on my way here today from home, I passed someone sitting at a bus stop, and I remember I took a look at him. It was an old person. He was probably waiting for a bus, and I didn't even stop, but I simply passed by him. I think I saw him already several times, so I started paying attention to that person. And on purpose, I gave you these two ends, a person that I passed by on the street and made me think about something. Maybe he even didn't see me. And the other circle are the people that are closest to me, my closest family. Now, you said that there can't be anything random, so they're not random, and he's not random, but we can't tell the difference. Did I understand correctly? Yes. So it's not that I just passed by this person sitting at the bus stop. Of course not. And it's not by chance that I got married to this woman, and this is my son. Of course. So it's on all levels. Even if it's random, there is nothing random. And why do they appear in my life? In order for you to come closer to one another and complete each other. But it's not necessarily to come closer physically in this world, but to help each other in your inner correction. Even that person that Owen passed at the bus stop that he didn't even talk to, doesn't matter, he thought about it for a moment. Right, he made me think. Maybe that person also, it made him think. So that's all the influence that you need. Any meeting with any other person, regardless of whether I know that person for many years or it's someone random, it activates both of us. Yeah. And it's a part of a higher plan. We're not even aware of it, but this is how it is. Even if it was only in thought, yes, it doesn't matter how, whether you thought about it or did something or whatever, it doesn't matter. Some people say that whoever we meet in life, we have to learn something from them. What do you think about this? To learn, I don't know if to learn from them something, but to learn from myself. What do you mean? How does each and every person influence me? Can you explain? When I look at people or any other phenomenon in life, I want to know what is its source in the general global system that includes not only this world, but all the worlds. And how am I supposed to respond to what I feel from experiencing a certain phenomenon or a certain person, and how do I mark their place in the general system? It's not really clear what you're saying. Is it possible to explain this a bit more clearly? Two examples. The one is, there is a person who's with me all life long. My husband, Owen's wife, our children, people that are close to us, that there are constant interactions, a very active relationship in all directions. Sometimes it's very turbulent, sometimes it's one way or another. There are many different states that you have to deal with. And the other side is that random person that I passed on the street that made me think about something for just a moment, and the next moment I saw something else and I forgot about it. Doesn't matter. That thought influenced you, and for the time being, it registered in that big computer that's called the whole of reality. You said that I have to learn for myself. This thought went through my mind. How can I do something with it? So I won't just pass that person on the street, but maybe I'll get something out of it, something more meaningful. Maybe I'll really be able to learn something from it, that this is what this thought went through my mind for. You have to think, why is it happening? What for? What is its source? What is the desired outcome? And this way, gradually, you'll start moving in a direction where you will start thinking that each thing has its place. Every phenomenon has its time. And what are you supposed to do? Because this is how it's revealed to you. And that the world is actually hidden. It's a kind of imaginary form that exists only in your perception. And how you, by this perception, start arranging your attitude toward this movie, towards this world, and so on. So you're actually saying that I'm living in a movie, and in this movie, which is a fruit of my imagination actually, it's not a fruit of your imagination. By saying imagination, we mean to relate to it as something that, in relation to you, seems very real, but that you don't relate to it that way. You don't accept it this way. But you accept it as something that exists in your senses. Okay, so it's a kind of picture that's depicted eventually in my senses. And you're saying that I actually have to understand that it came especially for me, that there's a very specific time and place for it in this big, whole, and complete picture that you talked about previously. So do I have to understand this specific thought, or in a more general way? You have to understand in general that there is room for everything, there is a time for everything, and you have to get along with all the phenomena that you're experiencing. There are billions of other phenomena that you don't even feel, that even that they pass you by, but you pay no attention to them. You can't even differentiate them. But all in all, the approach should be that these phenomena that go by, and there is a place for them in reality, and that they're all happening for me. People that are on a higher level of development, can they analyze and understand why did they meet one or another person and why did something happen? No. No person can tell the complete depth of a certain reason. I want to ask about something that's really intriguing. Up until now we said that all the people that I met in my life, whether it's for just a moment or for life, it was all pre-planned in the general computer of reality. Everything that happens registers there. Every thought, every desire, everything. Now, suppose tomorrow I change jobs. And I work in a new organization with new people. And I didn't know who these people are going to be. I know what my profession is. I wanted to get a certain position. I got it. I find myself in a certain office with new people. Some of them manage me. Someone's my boss. I'm someone's boss. Some of them are my colleagues. Now, I'm going to spend most of my day with these people. Suppose it's the two of you. So, I understand that it's not random, that it's the two of you. True. My question is, what's the right way to use this opportunity that life brought about? That I met you and her. We're going to be together for years. How can I, Owen, get the best out of it in order to develop as a human being? First of all, you have to take into account that you are a part of the system and that in relation to you, everyone has a role. And in this role, suppose she and I, each of us are influencing you. Yael and I, we're influencing you in one way or another. You have to take into account that that's how it has to be, that this is how it's set by the system from above. Now, you have to accept us as a given, and you have to see how to correctly use this given, meaning we appear before you in order to give you the opportunity to correct yourself and to connect to us in a whole and perfect way. How would you define to connect in a whole and perfect way? It means that you love us. Some of the people at work are bitter in his life. Doesn't matter. It's in order for him to change until he will bring everyone to a point where they love him. It's not enough that he loves them. Suppose he loves them, but also they have to love him. So, just to see if I get it, every person I meet in life eventually should end with love. The result has to be that I'll love them and they'll love me, and it doesn't matter what happens between us. What do you mean, it doesn't matter? This is what's going to happen. Yeah, it doesn't matter what states we go through. How? It's better to get there in the shortest possible way. But the end, this is how it should be. You said that every meeting in life should end with love. And I'm like trying to put it on like a new pair of glasses, that from this point on, whoever I meet, whether these are people that are with me for years or whether these are people that I'll meet just for a moment, I have to look at all these meetings, at all the people, all the situations, only through these glasses, that every meeting in life should end with love. True. But not every random meeting, momentary meeting that starts and ends. But when I meet a person and I have a relationship with that person, our relationship has to come to a point of love. Not now, then in a few years. Not in this life, then in the next incarnations. But everything ends in love. So really, there's this outlook on life that says that the meaningful people in my life, I don't only meet them in this incarnation, but that they're with me for many incarnations. This is for someone who believes in incarnations. I don't know if I believe in incarnations. What do you think about this? It doesn't matter. I have to try and reach love with everyone, mutual love with everyone, as much as possible, to at least advance towards that somewhat. And in relation to that person who I met randomly, like that person at the bus stop, I have to have positive thoughts about that person. Sometimes I see people and I can only criticize them. Beautiful. You see how much you have to change your attitude. So that, too, shows me that eventually I have to relate to everything with love. For sure. It's a demonstration of how uncorrected you still are. Explain, please. Were I to love Miss Yael, then I'd look at her and I'd see how beautifully she's dressed and what a nice jacket she has and how pretty she is and how she talks, meaning all of my criticism would end with love, in short. And if it isn't so, if all the crimes that I see about her aren't covered with love, it means that I don't love her. So what should I do about the flaws that I see in people? You have to cover them with love. An example from life. What is love? I love that person as they are. I wouldn't want to change anything about that person. Neither your glasses, nor your necklace, nor anything else about you. I'll give you an example from life. Suppose I came someplace, and there's this clerk there in this institution, and I came to solve my problem, and the only thing that he does is that he yells at me saying, "You're not going to get nothing." What do I do? I'm angry. There's nothing good to say about that person. What do? I see a flaw in reality, someone who treats me in a very aggressive way. What do about it? First of all, the best thing is to tell him that you're sorry. What are you sorry about? Right? So to tell him, I feel sorry for you. Then for sure you'll get some more. For sure. Bit by bit. In the same direction. But I love you. You're such a nice person. Your relatives love you for sure. And because we don't know each other, because you don't know me, this is how you're treating me. Going back to where you said that everything in life has a role. This person I met has a role. Every meeting is in order for you to correct your relationship. Okay, so what can I do if I really want to work with this? And eventually, Ms. Yael, I'll give you some advice. If you want to correct yourself, you have to come and study with us. And then you will know how to correct yourself. And you can't correct yourself at a random meeting with some rude clerk. But there you will have a system in which you can do it and learn who you are. Why does life treat you the way that it does? How to arrange these things in order to reach equilibrium, to reach some kind of a completion, supplementation. Can you teach us something on this show? Maybe not elaborately, but something for people that maybe won't want to come to study. I don't think that it can help them because they won't be able to implement it. And they'll understand that it's hard and impossible and that it doesn't work and like this and like that. But when they come to us, we teach them in special groups where they understand how necessary these things really are, how much a person changes by this, his attitude toward life. And he starts seeing himself differently. A person that studies all these things and learns how to correctly relate to life and the different people that he meets. Now, many times we hold grudges against people that are part of our life, that were a part of our life, that maybe did something bad to us. After we study, what is the correct attitude toward those people that as if hurt him, or not as if? He forgives almost all of them, besides those that are against the plan of the correction of creation. So he knows how to tell them apart. Yeah, and those that are a part of his plan, that are there in order to advance that wholeness and perfection that we talked about. He knows how to forgive them. Of course, it's really important because it helps a person to be at peace with himself. And what allows a person, what gives him the ability to forgive? Because he understands the nature of people. He understands that this isn't how that person is, but that it's our nature, that this is how it forces us to be. And eventually, as it says, go to the craftsman who made me. What are you getting mad at me for? Why am I to blame? Go to the one who made me this way, that activates and operates me this way all the time. I, in and of myself, I'm nothing. But there is a puppet standing in front of you, through which you have to relate to the one that made it this way. And when you relate to the Creator, then you relate to the Creator in a way where you're actually asking Him to understand me correctly, that I'm merely a representative presenting His attitude toward you. And then what follows is that everything, the still, the vegetative, animate, people, everything in your life is there only in order for you to reveal the Creator, His attitude toward you, and who or what is the Creator. It's the general law of reality. And if a person's not religious, has nothing to do with religion. And if he doesn't believe in God, has nothing to do with that. We live in this world, yes. The general force of the world that revolves everything is called the Creator. Does it have to do with the computer you previously talked about, where you said that every interaction is directed by some higher plan, even the slightest thought about a random person is registered? Yeah. This computer, this thought, the plan of creation, all of this is called the Creator. So, all the people, all the encounters that I have in life, it's like there's an infinite number of encounters of different kinds, and there is me and those people, and behind them, there's this great big computer that initiates all of those encounters, even the people that hurt me, and I have to forgive them and everything. I have to look at all that through glasses that are supposed to bring me to love, and all that not for the sake of the people themselves, but for the sake of the computer. Yeah. Well, not for the sake of the computer, but in order to bring those people to loving connections, loving relations between them. So, in conclusion, what is the role of all the people in my life? To help me reach love toward them. Love another as yourself. That is the rule of the whole of reality, of our entire plan, of our entire life and existence. Dr. Lightman, thank you very much. Thank you, Yael. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.
New Life 1212. Coronavirus, a global responsibility.
Hello, and thanks for joining us on the New Life Show with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitzamazos. Hello. And today we'd like to talk about mutual responsibility. Mutual responsibility is a concept that we're familiar with since we were children. I remember in the army, we were all responsible for each other, and there was this saying, either you support each other, or you'll hang beside each other. So, mutual responsibility is something that we're familiar with, and today it's taking on new characteristics all over the world, and we'd like to take a look at it in light of the global turmoil that we're facing. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah. The coronavirus gave us human beings an opportunity to learn something about life in a global reality on the one hand, and on the other hand, it also shows us the power of the individual. Even though that the world looks so big and so on, and what is an individual inside this big picture? But suddenly we discover that a small individual could be the carrier of such a virus and so on, and that specifically now every individual has to be responsible, has to even be in a kind of mutual guarantee toward others in order not to infect others. So on the one hand, we see the big, broad, global world that we've built and how powerful it is. And on the other hand, the small individual, I don't know, some merchant in the Chinese market, who knows who and what he is, but he can actually be the one to make such dramatic changes. And so we'd like to first of all understand, what is the power, the force of an individual in this global reality? There is this law in the wisdom of Kabbalah that's very simple, comprehensive, and well known, that's called the general and the particular are equal. The collective is just a collection of individuals, and therefore the collective depends on each and every individual. And you can't extract one small individual out of the collective in order not to break it. And even if you destroy the tiniest part in the collective, it'll no longer be the collective, the general. It's now flawed and deficient of that part that was extracted from it. So we look at that little particle. What is that? A tiny, corrupted virus. But really, it's showing us the corruption that we made in the entire larger system, on the biological level, which is the highest level of nature. Above that, there are only the thoughts and intentions of people. And that's the problem, on the one hand. On the other hand, we have to understand that everything starts from the head, as it says. And therefore, if there is some kind of corruption in the biological system, it comes from the system of thoughts and desires, which is higher than the biological level. And therefore, we have to understand what's wrong with our relationships, with man's relation towards himself, towards others, towards mankind in general, that we're creating these biological distortions, deviations, like this virus. Probably there's a problem in the relationships between us, that they're not integral, that we have already broken all the laws of the integral nature, not allowing it to function correctly, and therefore the entire shattering that we bring to the whole of nature, in which everything has to be interconnected and in balance. And probably we corrupted things so badly there that it's revealed now in this viral way that really hurts everyone. And it really does hurt everyone because we live in an integral world. So it could be someone from China that grows watermelons or something, and someone else from Hong Kong that's selling securities, and it could be someone in the United States, in South America, anywhere. Doesn't matter where, because we're a general interconnected system. If we look at the individuals in the general interconnected system, where is the individual more powerful, when the system was less connected or where it's more connected? No, in the past we lived and were dependent only on small areas because the world wasn't global. Today it's really global and integral in a way that even if I live in some village in China, what do I care about the rest of the world? What I care about is to sell what I have and to make the few pennies that I make and feed myself and my family. But it's impossible. It's impossible. Because in the interconnected chain of all the parts that live off each other, we're all interconnected. All of us. And so that Chinese person, for example, that heard what came from his village, what can he say? He doesn't understand. He doesn't feel it. But that's the explanation, that all of us are interconnected, and that probably even on his level, he created this corruption. We as human beings, we aspire to better and better understand the place that we're living in. We're living in a world that turns out that we don't understand the laws that operate it, and therefore we're getting these different states that are really bringing us to collapse and very severe crises, the implications of which we don't even understand yet. So let's try and understand this from the perspective of the individual, because always there is this feeling that, yeah, the world's big, there are governments that are running it and so on, and suddenly we see that the reins can really be in the hands of the simplest person. Not even a person, but a tiny harmful particle. Would it have had emotions and an intellect and the desire for power? It would have raised itself to the very top, doing what it feels like. But governments? What can governments do nowadays? They just carry out the orders of nature. We see what governments are now, with all of their pompousness, where everyone's really so full of themselves. They have nothing. There's no one. Look what's happening with Iran, Russia, the United States. They're all tiny. And what's happening with China? What is that law that is being revealed now that all people have to understand, internalize, in order to understand how to continue and come out of this crisis into a better state? The law is very simple. We're all a system called Adam, in Hebrew literally meaning man, a system that is one and integral, that all of its parts are all interdependent, without exception. It's something that we can't digest, but this is how it is. So if this is the system that we exist in, and the system is becoming ever more revealed between us, forcing us, then let's study this system, learn it, and see how can we suit it. Otherwise, things are going to be really grim. Otherwise, these kinds of viruses are going to be revealed each and every day, and many of them. The system says that we have to be interconnected in good and nice relations. But we also have to learn what does good mean, because by nature, in our ego, we don't know what good is. Good means that we study the entire system, and each of us and all of us together act in order to keep the system integral. And that's it. Just that. Meaning that I have to care for myself and for others to the same extent, to the measure that we're all interconnected. We have to be in a relationship of mutual responsibility, a global mutual responsibility. That's above all of its parts, all the remoteness between us, above everyone maybe having some personal goal of their own or something. That's impossible. The mutual responsibility, the connection between us, has to be above everything. And it has to determine all the particular connections between all of us. So mutual responsibility is actually the law of nature, a divine law, an upper law, the law of the upper nature. So it's not some kind of a moral law or something that pertains to one or another nation. No. It's the law of nature, and it's the only one that exists, and all the rest of the laws and kinds of behavior stem from it. So the law of mutual responsibility is becoming revealed all around the world. What can we learn from that? Very nice. Now nature is coming to teach us who we are, how opposite to it we are, and maybe we'll learn what we have to do in order to really be an integral part of nature. And actually, we're the ones that will be able to keep this law of mutual responsibility, and by doing so, to direct all of nature toward balance, reaching a complete future balance. It's really heaven if all the forces of nature will be in balance with one another. The matter of the mutual, global mutual responsibility, as you called it, this is actually a law that stems as a result of all the parts being interconnected in a single system. Yeah. So what does this law obligate me to as an individual? To know how you're supposed to relate to the entire system in order to bring it to balance, the whole and complete interconnection between all of its parts. And here, you suddenly discover that you're facing a problem that you simply can't digest. All the more, it's something that you can't keep. And all the more to commit as a single part of the system. If it's an integral system and I'm not keeping what I'm supposed to, then the entire system will be out of balance and I'll be to blame. And then both I and the entire system will feel how much my flaw flaws the wholeness and completeness of the entire system, meaning that every individual is equal to the entire collective. It's terrible. It's frightening. But what can you do? Because as if every person is responsible for the entire world. And therefore it says about this, sit and do nothing, better. I think that this is what just happened. People were told, sit in quarantine, do nothing. Don't go, don't come. Better to stop everyone. And what do you have to do? Learn. We have to learn that we're in a system and that this system is global and integral. What is its law called mutual guarantee, mutual interdependence? How do we turn this interdependence from a forced one to a desired one? Not that nature forced us to be this way, but that we ourselves start discovering how preferable this mutual interdependence really is, and it's really good that this is how we are, and that we can keep this kind of connection, relations between us, and it's really heaven on earth that we can connect this way between us and create these kinds of wholeness and perfection. And then we'll feel the wholeness of nature. We'll feel all the parts of nature, starting from the most distant stars and up to forms that we're not even discovering now. We can be the most exalted parts that cause wholeness and perfection. So it looks like the first stage is that we went into quarantine. First stage, don't do anything. Sit and do nothing. It says so in the wisdom of Kabbalah from thousands of years ago. So if I would have had to explain the stages of coming out of the crisis, so along with all that the Ministry of Health recommends, let's build stages of how to come out of the crisis to a better state. First, quarantine. What then? Or maybe what do we do in the quarantine? Do nothing besides studying. This is the problem of mankind, that it starts doing something before it understands what it's doing. So what do we do while we're in quarantine? We have to understand the world that we live in. Who are we? And what is the system of nature that we live in? And how we depend on the system of nature? And what do we cause to the system of nature? Mutually. And how do our relationships influence the general system of nature, the still vegetative animate and people, and how nature correspondingly responds to us, to our actions. And from that we start learning, how can we build a nice home for everyone? And it's not a simple home, but it's eternal, whole, complete, above our biological level, on a higher level. Through our connection, we rise to a system which is infinite and unlimited by time. We start living in a world where there's no death, where there are no limitations, that simply our perception and existence is boundless. And now we're given the opportunity to reach this. So, to try and summarize for things to be clear, because we're going through something so essential that if we'll understand what we have to do step by step, we'll be able to get the best out of this situation. So first of all, learn that. The general system of nature and our role in it, and as a result, how can we get organized between us in order to start connecting to the general system? Because each of us is an egoist, the opposite of nature. How do we have to suit ourselves to the system of nature, which is entirely integral, that exists according to the law of mutual responsibility, connection, love, completion? And I'm the opposite. So here comes the wisdom of Kabbalah and says, you have to connect with the other egoists in such a system where you build the connection between you in compatibility with the integral system of nature. And this is called a ten. Ten people that are connected together, that are trying to build a relationship between them that's similar to the system of nature. So what I understand is that today the egoistic, my egoistic desire always tries to turn the entire world my way. I think that this will soon end with this blow. So this is exactly that. I think that there's a perceptional revolution that the world's going through, from that I can't use the entire world to my own benefit, but I have to see how can I benefit the entire system. And in order to do that, I really have to understand the laws of the integral world, to understand how do we connect with one another in order to suit ourselves to the system of laws of nature. Then you said that you do it in small groups of 10. We build our compatibility to nature. So, 10 people, these 10 people, they're like a small laboratory where we as if develop an antivirus. And how do these 10 people do it? They agree to act between them according to the same laws that exist and the whole and complete nature, which is being integral, global, mutually influencing each other, where each makes himself the smallest, making everyone greater than himself, meaning that their relations will exist above the particular individual ego of each of them. And this is actually the remedy for mankind, yeah, for this virus or other things too, at least in relation to this group. And this way, more and more, such groups, until this way, will vaccinate everyone, meaning will bring everyone to function in accordance with the healthy nature. And functioning this way is that all the particular parts in the global integral system keep this kind of connection called global mutual responsibility. Okay, so suppose there is an individual and he's connected to the entire system. Suppose He developed his awareness, consciousness. He learned all of these things that you talked about now. How does he relate to the rest of the parts of the system according to the law of mutual responsibility? He does it toward his small group. What changed about him? Is he like an upgraded human being? Yes. How? By accepting the desire of those 10 as his own, and by caring for them more than he cares for himself. But it's opposed to human nature. True, but this is how he learns. He learns that this is what he wants to do. And then, in parallel to that, he gets support from the integral force of nature that turns him into an integral part of nature. So what does the global law of mutual responsibility say to an individual? It says that you have to be connected, even though that you're an egoist. You have to be connected to the entire system in a way that is above your own ego. That's called faith above reason in the wisdom of Kabbalah. There is a saying that says that man's nature is evil from the very start, that everyone's an egoist, no matter how you turn them. Nature made man an egoist, no matter how you put it. Now, the state of the global mutual responsibility, it's like evolution is taking us, wanting to turn us into new upgraded people or what? The integral global nature wants to show us that it's waiting to make us its inseparable parts. Nature is like saying, I am willing to absorb you now as integral parts inside myself. Even though that I created each and every part, each and every one of you, as an unintegral part that only wants to control others. Yeah? So why is it made this way? So that we'll see the states between the minus and the plus, and this is how the light excels from the darkness. This way we can feel the whole and complete integral state in a way that we know it, understand it, want to keep it. Otherwise, were we born in it, we wouldn't understand where we are at all. By profession, I'm a programmer, and nature programmed us in a certain way, and now it brought us to this edge where the program, the software that it instilled in us stopped functioning. And we ourselves are demanded to understand that this program according to which nature created us, where everyone thinks only about themselves, it no longer works. Because the world became so interconnected, so interdependent, that no matter what you do, it harms the system and comes right back at you. So the program doesn't work anymore. What now? I don't know what to do. It forces you to reach a state where you are willing to connect with others in order to keep the integral law of nature. For this, I have to download a new software. You'll get it. Where do I download this more advanced software from, where there's mutual responsibility, integrality, and so on? You'll find it. You'll find the way that nature is really directing you toward those places where you can find the solution. This mutual responsibility global software or program, it exists in nature and I simply haven't found it yet. It is the only thing that exists. Where? Everything besides you. Meaning that you, in your corrupted mind and heart, can't understand. Can you define what corrupted means? Egoistic. This is how you see everything, because of your own flaws. So this means corrupted mind and heart? Yeah, and this is how you see the world, that it's all corrupted. But once you start correcting yourself, that you want to become an integral part of nature, then you look at things and you say, oh, I don't think that this is how it is. I didn't see it this way. But now I understand that this is how it always was, only I didn't see it. So what does the global law of mutual responsibility say? That we're all a part of one system, and we have to feel ourselves as a mechanism in which we're all interdependent, where everything's whole, perfect, complete and eternal. That life's simply wonderful and you don't need anything else. So at the end of this process, do you see something positive coming from this crisis? I see that this is how it is and that it's nearing. Good luck to all of us. Thank you very much, Dr. Leitman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.